Fast Eddie here at EAA Radio talking to Russ Kirkman of Telus Aerospace. Russ, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the show. It's been a great experience so far.
It is very overwhelming being here at Oshkosh.
A little bit. 500,000 people in a small space, it seems like kind of where we're from.
Well, you know what? The thing of it being is that all those people are going to look at your product or your services and say, wow. And speaking of that, what you were into sound deadening materials?
That's correct. We're addressing a part of the engine that has had a little bit of tweaking to reduce the amount of sound, but we're putting an acoustic liner near the core of a jet engine.
Now that's interesting because I've never heard of anybody taking an approach like that before. What are the advantages of doing it your method?
Well, our technology is based on a NASA patent that was developed at NASA Langley and NASA Glenn in a joint project. And it was designed to extend the frequencies that we can address with sound absorption, and to do so in, at the same time, reduce the footprint into the engine. So we're minimally evasive into the bypass duct, which is a concern for the engine makers, with the thrust profile is directly related to the amount of bypass area.
Well, now here's a question. Is this a spray-on product, a bolt-on product? Is it a blanket?
It would be a component that would be integrated into the housing around the rotors.
This is not something that can easily be retrofitted into the engine. You'd have to do this with a clean sheet design?
Yeah. Where our initial target is new engine designs. However, we have identified some applications where we can put acoustic liners into the exhaust manifolds, like for a PT6 engine, for example. The exhaust manifold for that, we can basically retrofit that with a high-tech muffler, let's call it that.
Well, that's interesting because this has got to be quite a piece of high-tech muffler. You're dealing with some very high temperatures in there.
Yeah, within a jet engine core, we're up over about 1,000 C in some cases, and the materials that we are using are composite or ceramic matrix composites, which are materials that were originally developed for the space program.
Okay. How many hoops have you had to go through with the FAA on this?
We haven't actually gotten a product qualified for flight yet. We're in the startup phase and we're still in development, but that is something that is a concern for us in the long term. We're going to partner with our engine manufacturing customers and to get their assistance in getting that FAA certification.
A ceramic matrix. There's got to be some kind of trick into molding this stuff and getting it to actually fit inside the engine.
That would be where our value added to the intellectual property that we've licensed from NASA. That's what Telus does. We have composite matrix experience from NASA, and that's what we do. We figure out how to make it and how to get it installed in the engine.
That's interesting. Here all along, I was thinking of, when we had discussed this earlier, I was thinking of piston engines because mechanically they make a lot of noise. I was not thinking of the turbine market at all.
Yeah, so we could actually also, the profile of the liner is shallow enough, we could possibly introduce this into the engine compartments of small aircraft as well.
What kind of a weight are you talking about with this material?
Well, the ceramic matrix composite itself is about 3 times lighter than an aluminum or titanium alloy, pound for pound.
So we're talking pretty light stuff here.
Yeah, it's on the order of a carbon fiber matrix composite. It's very similar in density, but quite a bit stronger and, of course, very much more temperature resistant. However, we can make our technology out of several different materials depending on what the temperature threshold is required.
And of course, as the temperature goes up, so does the cost, because the materials, the base materials are more expensive.
Right, and that's really what drives the cost of our components, would be the type of material it's made out of. The configuration is flexible depending on what frequencies you're targeting to dampen.
So I'm assuming that when you get ready to install this in a new in a clean sheet jet engine, it's going to be all custom molded, custom made, and custom installed, and it's going to be an integral part of the engine.
That's correct, yes.
Wow. This is pretty interesting stuff. Have you actually been able to do anything with a live jet engine on this yet?
Not quite, no. We're still, the first step for us is going to be simulations and modeling to create a working prototype, which we will test in the environment of the engine. And then once we get that data and be able to show the engine makers that we're durable long enough to survive the maintenance schedule of an engine, which is typically about 10,000 hours on a commercial engine. Once we can give them the confidence that that part will last that cycle, then we can get them to work with us on doing a specific acoustic signature for a specific engine.
You think there might be some military possibilities with this too?
Yes, sir. So this also has the ability to dampen the acoustic signature of really any engine that has a combustion chamber. So for example, a helicopter engine, we can reduce the noise of the engine itself. Of course, the rotor blades are going to make their own noise, which is a different issue, but we can at least address the engine noise. And we've also looked at marine applications for submarines and other waterborne craft to reduce their engine signature. The side benefit of using a ceramic composite is that it's also thermally insulative, so we can not only mask the sound coming from an aquatic engine, but the heat as well.
Well, and if you do that in a jet engine, you're going to make it more efficient because you're containing the heat, keeping it where it needs to be.
That's right. The physics of power comes from the difference between the hot and cold. And yeah, the more we can contain the hot section, the more power you can generate.
Absolutely. You know, this is interesting. You're talking about it lasting 10,000 hours. That's a lot of time to be spent at those kind of temperatures.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the R&D that you're going to be doing on this stuff. I mean, this is going to be interesting when you finally do get, you know, a prototype product and start testing it, because I've seen jet engines that have destroyed themselves on YouTube. It's very bad.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of meteors out of the back end of the engine, and that's usually indicative of very bad things.
Yep.
And to think about that, because I'm sure you guys are already thinking, what happens if you have a catastrophic failure in the hot section? And that has happened.
Yes.
You know, you can blow a disc or something malfunction. There's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Right.
And of course, you know, the last thing that you want is to have your insulation material break loose. So you've got a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah. The good thing is that using a composite material allows small cracks and small defects to arrest at where the fibers are located. So even if the part is experiencing small failures on the microstructure, the overall part the integrity of the part will last quite a long ways past that. So we do, the materials that were developed that we're using they were developed for these kinds of applications.
So it's possible you may get little bitty, like fatigue cracks in it, and look at that and say, no big deal. But
right.
You're not expecting to have a big chunk of this thing come off and go through a turbine blade.
That's right. That's the idea, right.
And you know what? The FAA is going to ask you to prove that. That's going to be an interesting test.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing all kinds of goofy things that you wouldn't normally do to a jet engine.
Yeah. Well, the destructive testing on the materials is where that comes in. Before you even make a prototype, you have to make sure that, you know, in small, you know, relatively small samples of that material, you make sure that it survives, you know, well past what the application's going to call for.
Oh, this sounds like something I'd be interested in, because it involves things like fire and you know,
oh, yeah,
and projectile damage and stuff like this. It could be a very interesting
yep.
time. And I'm sure, of course, you're going to document this all, put it on YouTube when you finally get your program off the ground.
That is correct, yes.
Yes, just remember, during R&D, always keep the cameras rolling, because there's a good YouTube moment in there, whether it passes or fails.
Yep. The failures seem to be the more entertaining ones than the passing ones. So.
Well, maybe, but, you know, proof is in the pudding. If you see it and you've got the documentation and the instrumentation, everything to verify this, you know, you crank this thing up and it's sitting there glowing bright orange, and then you start beating on it with stuff and it withstands it. That's a heck of a testimony to the material you've developed.
Yep.
That's, you know, you're going to sell some of this stuff.
That's the idea, yeah.
This is going to be one interesting manufacturing facility. How are you going to get this into the shapes that you need?
Well, the method of manufacturing that we're looking at is based on additive manufacturing, so something similar to 3D printing. However, the details of that are still under wraps. That's kind
classified,
of our secret sauce. Yeah.
You could tell me. You could tell me, but you'd have to kill me.
Yeah. There's a few companies in the world, and GE Aviation has actually bought a few of them in the recent past. So we know we have something pretty special.
If General Electric is interested, you've got their attention. You know, that's a good thing, because GE builds some of the best jet engines out there, and they're always looking for improvements.
Right, right.
And as, you know, as a progressive company, yeah, I'd be looking for improvements too.
Yeah.
You know, don't just use an ordinary hammer, use a space age one.
Yeah, well, they kind of have a pretty big challenge in front of them. The FAA has mandates coming in the year 2025 that require 39 decibels of sound reduction from where they're at right now. And every time an airline lands or takes off a plane that doesn't meet those sound requirements, the airports fine them.
Uh-oh.
So there's a big financial push behind, you know, adopting new sound reduction technologies. So we're well positioned to help them meet those challenges.
I'll tell you what, it sounds very interesting. What's your website?
So it's www.telusaerospace.com. That's TELLUS aerospace.com.
Sounds very interesting. I think there's going to be some wonderful YouTube moments here going on. Well, Russ, we thank you for coming out here. You've been listening to Russ Kirkman of Telus Aerospace. My name is Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.